Psalm 78, 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark or hidden sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. This psalm encapsulates what I want to speak to you about today, reaching for the next generation. God bless you. Please be seated. The culture of a church or any organization is created by what you do and say over and over. At Atlanta West, there are some things that we intentionally do and say over and over the same way because we want to build a biblical culture for the church in the 21st century. We want to have a biblical model of preaching the same message that was preached by the early church, the disciples of Jesus Christ, taught us what to preach. We embrace the same mission as that early church, the whole gospel to the whole world by the whole church. We have a message and we have a mission, and it is a fixed stake in the ground. They are both fixed stakes in the ground, non-negotiable message, non-negotiable mission of the church. Another thing we say around here is that we are a multicultural, multi-generational church reaching for the next generation. All you have to do is look around today, and I will confirm that we are a multicultural church. I'm so thankful that our church is made up of precious people from all kinds of cultural backgrounds and diversity. We have all come together in the body of Jesus Christ. I think that the church on earth should mirror the church that will one day be in heaven, where they are all nations, kindreds, people, and tongues that are standing before the throne of God. Amen? So I say, if we're going to go to heaven together, let's go to church together here. If we're going to get along there for eternity, let's get along here and love and respect the body of Christ. Then they will be clothed in white robes, symbolizing the righteousness of the saints. And they will have palm branches in their hand, depicting that they have overcome the flesh, the devil, the world, and they are victorious forever. And we're going to be those people clothed in white robes, palm branches in our hands. We will be able to say that we have made it home to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Amen. That is the church in heaven, and we are his church on the earth. The Bible message is that whosoever will can come, not just of any people group, but everyone can come take of the water of life freely. The Bible said that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, regardless of where they come from, to come to Jesus. The Bible also says that if any man is in Christ Jesus, they are a new creation. All things pass away and all things become new. I'm glad for the transformational power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We celebrate it every Sunday, but I'm thankful that someone can come one time. They can turn from their sins in repentance. They can be baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. They can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They can come an old creature. They can leave a new creation in Christ Jesus by the power of the gospel. No matter where you come from, I'm glad we all know where we're going, to the same heaven, to be with the same Lord forever and ever and ever. In the body of Christ, Paul told the Galatians, when you baptize, are baptized into Christ, You have put on Christ. And now in the cultural terms of their day, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave or free. There's neither male or female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, the Bible maintains gender roles, but when you come to Jesus, all of us have been made worthy by his blood, and the ground at the cross is level. We are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We are a multicultural church. Amen. By God's design and by our design. But not only are we a multicultural church, we're also a multi-generational church. We don't try to market to one particular demographic generationally. We say everybody can come and find the Lord, from the oldest to the youngest. Amen. Our church was founded in 1961. So this year, we will be 64 years old as a church. And by the numbers, and I've run the reports, we have a very balanced a generational demographic in our church, from old to young. All of our kids and teenagers and hyphen age, our young adults, middle marriage and middle age, older, and then heritage group, 65 and up. We're a church with a lot of people in all kinds of seasons of life. And this morning in the 9 o'clock service, I was able to recognize the founding member of our church, Sister Louise Harper. She is 101 years old, and this church was started in the basement of Merle and Louise Harper in 1961. It's not every church that can say we've got the founding member 64 years into the history of the church, 101 years old, and she'll turn 102 in November on the 20th, and she's a lot younger than a lot of us, right? She might outlive all of the Chips kids. And the Bible says to despise not the day of small things or small beginnings. The beauty of a lively legacy church, an older church, is that every mature member knows their purpose, that we are not here as consumers. We are here as contributors. While every one of us have needs, and as people grow older, they may have particular needs and need care, our focus is on the future. We're standing on the shoulders of the past, but we are reaching for the next generation. We, every one of us, regardless of our age, if you're an adult, if you're a middle married, middle-aged person, or you're an older person, we thank God that we can receive from the Lord, but we didn't just come here to see what we could get. We have come to see what we could give to make a difference in reaching the world and reaching the next generation. That's a sign of a healthy, vibrant church. But a dying church and a deceased church, if you run the autopsy, you will find that older members consumed all the resources and left nothing for the young. Like the famine in Samaria I've referred to, they ate their future to survive in the present. But it is not our agenda to do that. Every one of us, and I speak for my generation and older generation, that we are not focused on having our needs met. We are focused on meeting the needs of our young people, of our children, because we believe that God's truth will endure to all generations. Now, we know that's true universally, but we want it to be true locally. We want to make sure that we are reaching intentionally for the next generation. And if you believe that, shout a hearty amen. Amen. This church has been built on the sacrifice and the stewardship of past generations long gone on to be with the Lord, and with current generations that are sitting here today, that are giving, that are serving, that are loving, and that are reaching for the next generation. I've heard a prayer, Sister Steinman has echoed this prayer, but it's from Psalm 71, and I think that it should be the prayer request of every older saint of God. Psalm 71, 17. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me. That's the first part of the prayer. Don't forget me when I get older. And every elder does feel that way. Don't forget what I've done, who I've been, and that I'm still part of your church. But then this prayer request becomes missional. Until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to everyone that is to come. Here is the mission of my generation and of every adult generation. It's fine, don't forget me, but guess what? We're not going to forget you, because today and every day of my life, I want to declare the truth of God's word to the next generation so that everybody coming behind us will know that there is one Lord, that Jesus is his name. He can save you from your sins. He can give you the hope of heaven. He can put your life back together again. We are reaching. We're reaching for the next generation. Amen. So that's a sign of a healthy church, no matter the age. I have friends who have started churches that have young churches, and you may be able to grow a church somewhat quickly, but it is impossible to build a strong church without years of investment in a church. And I'm not saying this in a braggadocious way, but I thank God it is seen in the giving, it is seen in the growth, it is seen in the stability that God has given us, a strong apostolic church that is grounded in truth, that has got faithful people. This church has a backbone of men and women with some steel, with concern, with courage, with convictions. That is the legacy of our church, and it is the future of our church. But a church, like a healthy family, is always reaching for the most vulnerable and for the youngest in that family. In our family, we have 9 grandchildren now, where we're very excited about. But Lincoln's 12. Elowen is 1. Lincoln knows how to go to the refrigerator. So do his other cousins. But Elowen, she knows where it is, but she's just 1. So we don't say, Elowen, take care of yourself. We take care of Elowen. She was here in the first service, worshiping the Lord. She's got an amazing personality. But we take care of her because she needs it. And the reason we reach for the next generation is because they need us to reach for them and care for them. Amen? That's what you just do in a healthy family and in a healthy church. Today, Rylan was in the first service. These kids are early risers, and he was sleeping during the worship service, but he was in the altar. Rylan is only 2 months old. Even Elowen is doting on Rylan. We love this little 2-month-old baby, but we know that Rylan needs a lot more care than his older cousins do. So as a family, we put more energy there, not because he's more deserving than anyone else, but because he needs it more. That's the understanding that I want to transmit today, that we all have value to God, but we've been around long enough. We've served God long enough. We don't need somebody else to spoon feed us. We don't need a bottle. We're on strong meat. We're mature in the Lord. And just like the writer of Hebrews said, you should be teaching other people. You don't need somebody to always feed you, serve you, help you. It's our responsibility to reach for the next generation. That makes sense? Amen. And when they sleep all night like Rylan did last night, his mom and dad have a revival. Rare, right? That's the nature of babies. That's the nature of new people that come to the Lord. They're often unstable in their faith. They may be going back and forth, wavering. The world is pulling on them. Relationships are still connected to them. But we are reaching for them because that is the mission of the church. We are in a multi-generational church, but we are reaching for the next generation. That's our mission. That's our focus. And there's some things we do intentionally at Atlanta West. I've mentioned that a couple of times. But you know, earlier in the service, Brother Joel welcomed two new babies. We do that because of the value we place on these babies that are born into our church. So treasure Jewel Amore. And then last week, we welcomed Annalise Manera. And today, our neighbor's little boy, Jeremiah Manuel Sweet, we celebrate them because there are babies that have come into the church and we are reaching for them. But we also celebrate our new people that have been born again. They're babes in Christ. So every time there's a person born of water and of spirit, we also celebrate that because we're reaching for them. That's why we celebrated Bailey Brooks, Jaden Fuentes, Samara Hernandez, Sarah Lynn Hernandez, Diamond Reese Cameron Jackson. What's with the party? Why do we do that? We are reaching. We're reaching for them. They are the focus of our efforts, of our energies, of our resources. Amen. And this psalmist said that's what we should be doing. We shouldn't be consuming the future. We should be investing in the future. I remembered a bumper sticker that I saw, and so I Googled it and found a good example of it. It's a bumper sticker that is on a really big, expensive RV, recreational vehicle. And it says, spending the kids' inheritance one campsite at a time. Now, there's nothing wrong with spending your life wisely, saving money wisely, having retirement years, you know, doing whatever you can afford to do in those years. But God forbid that as a church, we would consume everything and say, hey, kids, have a good life. We're going to eat everything today, absorb all the resources, all the worship, just pile it on us. We know that, you know, we're passing off the scene and you're coming on the scene, but we're eating your future. That's not the way we are. I think you should take care of yourself and all of those latter years of your life. But the investment is in the next generation. It is leaving not just an inheritance, but a spiritual legacy for the next generation. That's what we do. We're reaching for the next generation. Do you remember when King Hezekiah, in your Bible reading, he was sick and the Lord said, you're going to die. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed, and he begged God for more time. And the Lord gave King Hezekiah, a basically good king, 15 more years to live. And Hezekiah's response to that word was, good is the word of the Lord, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. Hezekiah basically said, well, this is great. As long as I live, everything's going to be good. But don't you think Hezekiah should have been saying, I've got 15 more years to make a difference for the future of my kingdom. I'm not just going to be thankful that things go good for me. I want to make sure that they go good for the next generation. We are reaching for the next generation. That is the message of this psalm, of Asaph, Psalm 78. Let's walk through a few verses. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Pay attention, he says. He's going to open his mouth in a parable, utter these dark sayings of old. But he said, these things that are these old sayings have been made known to us. We have heard and known. Our fathers have told us. They didn't leave them hidden. They revealed them to us. Our fathers, our parents, our Sunday school teachers, our pastor, the older generation, passed truth on to the next generation. Verse 4, we got it from them. Now we're not going to just let it die with us. We will not hide them, these words, from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. That means don't just consume it. Don't just live it and never talk about it. You're supposed to talk about your faith to your children. Don't be silent, but share it with them every chance you get. Amen? How would a parent hide truth from their children? Well, they would just let it die. Let it die with their parents. Let it die with the older generation. Just not talk about it too much. Talk about everything else. Talk about politics. Talk about school. Talk about work. Talk about sports. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. Talk about everything else, but let God be squeezed into Sunday only, and you will let your faith die if that's the only place you give to God in your life. Minimize Bible teaching. You will hide it from your children. Isn't it amazing? We teach our children to speak and to think. We teach them basic hygiene. I hope you do. We want them to succeed in life. We guide them in school choices. We teach them academic and practical life skills. You know, little boys and little girls need to grow up knowing how to do a few practical things as well as, you know, the academics. We teach them, we should teach them, how to function in relationships. And the best way to do that is by modeling it in your home, what a healthy marriage looks like. And then your kids will really learn to function pretty well in life. So we make sure that we don't hide those things from our kids. But while we're teaching them everything else, let's not hide God from our children. You must be intentional and show the generation to come. That's verse 4. Praises of the Lord, strength, wonderful works. Verse 5. For he, God, established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded. Now, that's a strong word. That doesn't sound like it's up to you. Sounds like you have an obligation to do what this verse says as well as do what the Bible says generally. That they should make, he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. It's not optional. It is commanded by the Lord. Verse 6. Here's the reason, that the generation to come might know them, the praises, the strength, the commandments, the word of God. You can't do it arbitrarily. You do it intentionally and systematically. Even the children which should be born, who should declare them to their children. Now, I want you to see the generations represented in this verse. We heard it from our fathers. We told it to our children. They told it to their children, and they're going to tell it to their children. Fathers, parents, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. It doesn't say that as faith goes on, that it gets weaker. I know sometimes people think that faith has to wane in succeeding generations. But the Bible said that God's truth endures to all generations. That means somebody's going to get saved right before the Lord comes. But I want it to be my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids and your kids and grandkids and every kid we bring to church that they can know the Lord. We are reaching for the next generation. So truth has no shelf life. Doesn't spoil, doesn't go bad, doesn't have an expiration date. It is good to all generations. Amen? Verse 7 in our text, that they, the next generation, might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. This is really important. Verse 8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. He's looking back to the times of Israel wandering in the wilderness when they're murmuring and complaining and wanting to turn back and not having faith in God that they could inherit the promised land. He said, I want you to teach your children because we do not need to repeat the mistakes of the past. Maybe our past people, our relatives, our heritage is not a good heritage. Maybe you don't come from a godly background, but you can start one today and not be like the past. You can change the future if you will reach for the next generation. Amen. Reaching for the next generation. Their generation in the past, God was faithful. The people were not. God was gracious, but the people were not grateful. They backslid, rebelled, rejected God at every turn. So no wonder in Psalm 78, it is a call for parents and people of adult generations to reach for the next generation to make sure that they set their hope in God and they do not forget the Lord. If God's truth endures to the generation of your family, then you must reach for that next generation. But here's what's going on in our world. Everybody else is reaching for the next generation. The next generation is being marketed. The next generation has their faith undermined in public education. The next generation has morality undermined in social media and movies and so many things that are in our pop culture. It's gone woke and crazy. That's what's happening in our culture. Everybody else is reaching for your kids, reaching for the next generation. They know that's the future of their business, of their marketing. So I'm saying to us, if they know enough about the next generation to market them, how much more should we make sure that we're reaching them and teaching them and loving them and preparing them, not just for life, but for heaven? So what are you doing practically to reach the next generation? There's a fundamental verse of Scripture, foundational to faith, Old Testament and New, in Deuteronomy 6:4. I will do my best to mostly just read through this passage. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and your might. Adults must love God with their whole being. Have you ever heard somebody speaking, maybe preaching, and it didn't ring true? Maybe they were saying it without having a conviction about it. They didn't really believe it. They didn't really live it. You can teach a class. You can say something to your children. But if you're just reciting words, it's not going to resonate. The Lord said, you should love me. And these words have got to be in your heart. That's verse 6:7. And then teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Once again, I will say, don't just give God an hour and a half on Sunday. Teach it to your children, not just a teacher at church. You, parents, teach it to your children and then talk about it when you're in your house, when you're driving to school, when you're going down the road, when you're walking by the way. Make God a part of all of your life because that's the way it really is. You teach it and then you talk about it. And then he said, let the posters on your wall, write it on your gates, write it on your doorposts. When your kids look around your house, let them see God, not just the heroes of this world. Let them know that there is one God, that Jesus is his name. He's their savior. He's the center of your life. You're building your life around him. He's not stuck out on the periphery of your life. He's everything. That's called the Great Commandment. That's what we should be. Deuteronomy 6 goes on to say, so that when you go into that land of promise and you're blessed and you live in houses you didn't build and you've got wells that you didn't dig and you've got crops that you didn't cultivate, when God blesses you and you have a lot of abundance, You want you to be careful that you do not forget the Lord, that you never forget where God brought you from, that everything you have came because of a blessing of God, not because you were good or smart or just worked hard. All of that's fine and important, but I recognize it's better to be blessed than to be good or smart or energetic. I thank God that we are a blessed people, that the blessings of the Lord have rested on us. And it is incumbent upon us to reach for the next generation. Amen? It's not okay to God, not okay to us, the core of this church, for there to be an erosion of truth from generation to generation. That your convictions are softer than the last generation. That you love truth less than the last generation. I thank God for the amazing people that are reaching for the next generation. We're not going to lose our apostolic doctrine, our apostolic identity. We're going to teach it. We're going to live it. We're going to reach for the next generation so that they will love the God who delivered us out of our sins. Amen? We're reaching for the next generation. So parents and grandparents and adults, crowd students, reach. Do something to reach the next generation. Be intentional. Pray for them and teach them to pray. Teach them the word of God. By your example, show them the ways of God. Have a healthy relationship in your home, relationships in your home, so that they know how to function in all of life, whether it is school or work or a home that they will one day build. Teach it by example. This is the whole idea of Psalm 78, that we've got to show to the next generation the praises, the strength, and the wonderful works of the Lord. But today, on this middle of August Sunday, back to school, right here as we launch into what is our new fall, really still summer, I want to tell you some things that we do as a church and that we're a part of that help us reach the next generation. All summer we have camps for our children, Georgia District, children, teens, hyphen. We just had a children's revival. I mean, we dedicated an entire weekend to reaching for the next generation. We brought in a kids evangelist and he preached to those children and we got to listen in because that's part of what it means to reach for the next generation. I'm just going to throw this in. If you stayed home because it was a children's revival, shame on you. I'll drink some water on that. If you just couldn't come, that's understandable. We call it a Holy Ghost excuse, right? Next week, we're going to receive a sacrificial offering for Move the Mission. It will spread the gospel in Georgia, North America, and around the world. Brother DJ Hill and a team of people were just in Africa on a missions trip because we're trying to teach the next generation the mission of the church. So Move the Mission is big at Atlanta West. Next week is also Camp Extreme. I hope you go to Camp Extreme. Send your children because we want them to be reached with the power of God. We place a high value on youth and children's ministry in our local church. Amen. We teach our kids the Bible and we tell them it's a guide for life and will save their soul. I got a couple videos today of one of our classrooms. A classroom is set up like a wedding. There's an aisle down the aisle and candles and, you know, like a walkway down the aisle. What do you call that? A cloth. And there's wedding cake. And they're teaching our kids that we are the bride of Christ. Some teachers and their family stayed up late last night, worked this week. So when our children went in that classroom, they heard the word of God. It was vivid. It was creative because we are reaching for the next generation. We really ought to applaud all of our teachers. It's amazing to me that most of our children experienced a new birth before they reached their teenage years. That's the way it should be when they grow up in church. They receive the Holy Ghost as little kids. They're baptized in Jesus' name when we know they understand it. Amen. And it will stick with them. Amen. Our boys receive the Holy Ghost at 8, 7, and 5. They still love the Lord because they received the Holy Ghost when they were little. That doesn't mean they're going to forget it. They give themselves to God over and over. Youth camps, youth revival, Sunday school, crowd services. Over and over, we reinforce, we reach for them. Getting a little worked up over this. I thank God for the 122 volunteers who serve in children's ministry at Atlanta West Pentecostal Church. Now is a good time to give them a big hand to the 122. They rotate on a shift. Some are here today. Some are back there teaching. But while we're here worshiping, they're back there reaching for the next generation. We invest in Bible quizzing. We make allocations to Bible quizzing. So our Bible quizzers don't have to do 40 bake sales so they can memorize 500 verses of scripture or 200 or whatever it is for their age group. We have crossover, that preteen ministry that helps our children prepare for their teen years and the transition of going into our youth group, the crowd. I thank God for those ministries. We have a dedicated children's administrator, pastoral oversight. And in our crowd age, we've had a full-time youth pastor since my first year here. It was our first hire after I came. And I thank God for all of our children and young people that have been raised in a ministry that helps him. And thank you for bringing your kids on Wednesday night to be a part of the crowd and for participating in crowd events. Got a little weaker there, but still the truth. Counted over 130 people from our church who were at North American Youth Congress. We chartered 2 buses. We had 91 people on those buses, workers hyphen students, but we subsidized that trip. The board, our church board, we put money into that. So it was a little more affordable. It's expensive to go to North American Youth Congress. You may not know it, but just by your general giving and tithing, we use that money to invest in the next generation. We care about them. We want them to be a part of 36,000 people worshiping God in a football stadium and seeing they're not alone when they go to their public school or when they go to their job. We are reaching for the next generation. We have hyphen ministry, 18 to 28 years old, to reach for those young adults moving out of high school into college years, into career years before they're married. We want to help them. And we're training our volunteers to reach for the next generation. Our CHIPS team is putting in place a mentoring program so we will help them. We have 26 crowd age students between the ages of 14 and 18 who serve in our CHIPS ministry. So we've got kids, young teenagers, that are helping them serving in CHIPS, and we're going to mentor them so they can reach for the next generation. That's what we do at a church that is reaching for the next generation. I don't want to embarrass Lincoln, but Lincoln just turned 12 in May. And right now, this month, he's coming to the first service. He's here in this service, but he and Saul, his buddy, they're going to Welcome to the Family. Why do you want to go to Welcome to the Family when you're 12 years old? Well, it is your first step toward connecting as a member or committing to a ministry. He said, "Papa, when I turn 14, I want to be on the CHIPS team. Maybe I can play piano there like he does in Crossover." You know what we're trying to do? We're not a perfect family. You don't have a perfect family, but we are reaching for the next generation. I want my kids to be involved in the work of God. I want their life to be centered around the church. I don't care what else they do. If they're a success everywhere else and fail at church, they're a failure. Thank you for raising your kids like that to reach for them so that they can reach the next generation. You've got to reach for them. What I've just described to you is an intentional reach. It is teaching and teaching them to teach. It is praying for them and teaching them to pray. It is discipling them and then teaching them to disciple someone else. That's how you build a multi-generational church. And I'm inviting you to get on board with the greatest mission in the world. It is to reach our world through our young people, through our children that are full of the Holy Ghost and that love God with all of their heart. They're missionaries everywhere they go to make a difference in their world. We're reaching for the next generation. But we're not just reaching for the next generation so we can propagate our brand of religion, so we can sustain Atlanta West Pentecostal Church for the next 50 years or 64 years. The reason we're doing this is because one day the next generation will be the last generation. Jesus spoke of this in Matthew 24. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, he putteth forth leaves. You know that summer's on the way, summer's nigh. So likewise you, Jesus said, when you see all these things come to pass, when you'll see all these things, he's described prophetic events of the end of time. Know that it is near, even at the door. Verily, I say unto you, this generation, the generation that Jesus described as the last generation, will not pass till all these things be fulfilled. You see, our interest, my interest, your interest, is not just seeing your kids do well and their kids do well and their kids do well in life. I want them to do good in the judgment. We may be living in the last generation. I'm not saying that as a fear tactic. I'm telling you, there will be a last generation. And if we quit reaching for the next one, we will miss the last one. And now for you, if you're not ready to meet the Lord, he might come for you today and you breathe your last breath. He might come for us today at the sound of the last trumpet when the dead in Christ rise first and then all the alive, faithful people of God are gathered to be with the Lord forever and ever. See, to me, this is not like we're not just building a local church. We're not building a ministry. Every time we gather and every day we live, this really is about heaven or it is about hell. It is not just about my kids being involved in church. It is about my kids going to heaven. It is about my kids not burning forever in a lake of fire. And I care about that so much that whatever they miss in this life, to make sure they go to the next life, it is worth it to make sure that I have reached for the next generation. We've got to be intentional. We've got to be passionate. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord God, I come to this moment in this message, Lord, and I am praying that you would let your spirit make it deeply personal. For I know, Lord, that your word pierces to the dividing asunder. It discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So I pray today, Lord, that your word would pierce through all of our protective armor, that it would get right down to where we live. It would come to our very motives, the motives that drive us in life. And that you would help us, God, arrest every one of us. Arrest me, God, in my life and help me see where I am and where I can make changes in my life, Lord, to more effectively reach the next generation. I pray, Lord, for every elder in our church. While we all are naturally concerned about our own needs, I pray that today, Lord, this message would resonate with them. That our prayers and our efforts would not be focused on our survival, but it would be focused on reaching the next generation for a mighty Holy Ghost revival. I pray for moms and dads, Lord, here. It's just the way it is in life, Lord. We can get lost in the weeds. We can become distracted. We can take our eye off the spiritual ball, Lord. We can lose our way. And I am praying in Jesus' name that you would help us, God, have an encounter with you today that would change us, that would revolutionize the way we do life with our families, that it would revolutionize the way we think about ourselves and about the next generation. I pray that you would help us be unselfishly committed to reaching the next generation. And I pray for the person right now, Lord, who would be lost forever if they died today, that they would turn to you in repentance, be baptized in Jesus' name, and be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I ask you that, Lord, in your holy name. Now I'm going to ask you, would you lift your voice and pray for yourself? And if you don't need prayer for yourself right now, would you think of someone who does need prayer? And would you pray out loud for them right now? I know you're thinking, I know we tend to pray quietly in this moment, but I'm asking you to lift your voice. Lift your voice a little bit. Why don't you cry out to God? Why don't you pray for your children as if they were the prodigal lost and you were praying they'd come back from the pig pen? Why don't you pray for your children and for our children as if you knew this was the day that the Lord would return and they needed salvation today? Let's lift our voices and pray. Pray right now.